RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson Extravaganza. Kang is in, along with, I believe I see Corbin walking into the building, so he'll be screening the calls. Doug will be out until Monday, although we're efforting to see if Doug can join us in tomorrow's show, given that Michigan is playing Texas in Orlando, and Doug will be there for that, so we'll be talking to him, I hope. But in the meantime, we welcome everybody. And if you want to join along, feel free. You can follow the show live streamed on twitch.tv. Search for 97.1, the ticket, and you'll see it. You can see live audio of the studio, or live video, I should say, of the studio, along with the audio. Also, you can go to youtube.com and search us, and you'll find us there. But we look forward to communicating with you as well. 248-539-9797. The telephone number, same number to text as well. We will have Jared Goff coming up at 10:30. Our final interview of the season with Jared will take place in just a little bit. I look forward to talking to him one last time. Unfortunately, it's obviously the season is what the season is. One more game to go and it's done because there's no playoffs and that sucks. Can't imagine that. Just think of it this way. As bad as we feel as fans, we're pissed about this, right? How do you think the players feel? I mean, they're on a team that won back-to-back division titles, and then this year things take a left turn. They can't be happy about it. I'm sure they're incredibly frustrated. And we'll see what the mindset is going into the last game of the season against the Bears. All that's left to play for is really pride and, you know, guys that want to put stuff on tape to make sure they stay in the league, and it does matter. But we'll talk to Jared about all that stuff. But, Kang, I did want to start with what my eyes saw last, which was last night's football game, where the Rams and Falcons were playing on Monday Night Football. And by the time I flipped it on, the Falcons were up 14-0. And I'm like, what's happening here? 14, is Stafford not playing? Are they resting their starters? And I look at the box score, and no, Stafford's playing. Yeah, there's Puka Nacua. He's playing. I got both running backs are going. Huh. What's happening? How is this happening? And then I'm watching a little bit, and Stafford is just willy-nilly throwing the ball over the place. And the Falcons are making some plays. And before you know it, it's like 21-0. Like this is kind of crazy. And then you start seeing, you know, some weird things happen. There's a blocked field goal for a touchdown that the Rams get. They get back into the game. There's the most fantastic one-handed catch that I've ever seen in my life, and we've seen a bunch of them. This one, had it been in between the numbers, it would have been a catch. But because it's on the sideline, you got to balance it 2 feet in bounds and all that. And he's got, Puka Nacua has 2 feet in bounds. The ball in his one hand, his left hand, but then it kind of gets taken away by the defensive back, and then it goes back into Nakua's hand. But by this point that he's got it all again, his feet are out of bounds. And it's too bad because it took away what was really a spectacular catch. Like I said, I think it may have been That may have gone down as the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life. Had it actually been a catch between the numbers, but because it was out of bounds, it was not. And there's some other missed opportunities by the Rams at the end. There's some strange officiating again. And I hate to do this, Kang, but my God, what is the officiating in the NFL? I don't know what interference is anymore. You know, you think you have a handle on it of what pass interference is, and then you get like a string of calls that are either not pass interference or they end up being pass interference on the offensive player now. And it's not, I'm not even talking about what happened with the Lions a week ago. I'm talking about what happened last night. I mean, there's a play at the end. Atwell has a chance to haul in this deep pass from Stafford. It would have put him right in field goal range. They could have kicked the field goal and gone to overtime. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if they would have had enough time to line up and do it. But nonetheless, it was as well, they would have, because it would have been interference. And the penalty would have stopped the clock. But they don't call it. And it is blatant. I mean, the defender's got two arms on Atwell's one arm pulling it down so he can't get it up to try to catch the football. It's crazy. I don't know what is what anymore when it comes to pass interference in the NFL. I think they got a real problem with this and need to figure it out quickly.
Well, first of all, what you saw last night was the NFL. I asked you guys a few weeks ago, why isn't there any dominant NFL team this year? And I think, I forget what you guys' answer were. I think Doug said there was going to be at the end when we all see it shake out. I'm not sure what your answer was, Gator, but I still stand by it. There is still no true dominant team in the NFL this year, and that includes the Rams, because everyone had the Rams, right? For the last couple weeks, they were the hot team. They're not even going to get the one seed in the NFC, and they're supposed to be the best team in the league. Any given Sunday is true. So Atlanta showed up, and they beat the Rams. Now, going to what you're talking about with the refs and what is pass interference, what isn't, unfortunately, I think the referees have gotten worse. And I'm not saying they're terrible or all should be fired or anything like that, but I feel like they're just making calls. The calls are based on whoever's making the call instead of the rule. You know what I mean? It's too much. It's not objective form of pass interference or what a catch is anymore. I just feel like whoever is happens to be working that day, it's whatever their interpretation is. And that's a problem with this league. It's not enough black and white. There's too much gray.
It's the NFL's version of the strike zone. You know, each umpire is a different strike zone. You don't know what to expect from one day to the next. Now,
Major League Baseball, the way it should be.
I know it's not. I know it's not. You know, if you know going into it, I guess, if you know going into the game, if each umpire is going to say, all right, now look, here's my strike zone, I'm going for you. And now I guess in baseball, it's not going to matter because they're going to go to the automated balls and strike system, hopefully this upcoming season. But if you go into that knowing what the strike zone is, I'd feel better about it as a player. Okay, so this is where you're going to get. You're calling a high strike. And he's like, yes, I call a high strike. Okay. And if you talk with the officials ahead of time, and the officials are like, look, we're allowing hand fighting. Hand fighting is hand fighting. What you can't do is grab somebody's wrist and pull it down. That's what. But to your point, they shouldn't have to explain to the players on a daily basis what it's going to be, or on a game-by-game basis based on the crew. The crew should, and every crew, should be in lockstep of what is and is not pass interference. And it clearly isn't happening. And I know what some people will say, well, it's because we don't have full-time officials. These guys work full-time enough, okay? I get that they have other jobs in the off-season and stuff like that, and people have been complaining about that for years. I think it's ridiculous. These guys get paid plenty, and it shouldn't be some job where you're literally working 40 hours a week to you know, make sure that you know the rules of the league. You know the rules of the league. You should know how it's called. But for whatever reason, it feels like a crew by crew call on, and it's not even crew by crew. It's you know, back judge by back judge. It's line judge by line judge.
Yeah,
umpire and referee. Everybody is calling it different, and they need to find some way to get some uniformity to it, because it feels like it's tough. It's a subjective call, so it's not simple, you know, to say, oh, let's just go ahead and put it up to review. And they had review for pass interference that one year, and it was awful. It was just the thing took too long, and maybe they're better suited to have it now than they were 10 years ago when they had it. But I'm not really sure what the solution is. other than the league needs to, you know, come down pretty firm throughout and say this is and this is not pass interference, because it's so damn confusing right now. And it, and I can't validate this, and there's had to be some research done, but it, in games I watch with my eyes, it feels like in the last few weeks, or maybe it's just been all season long, offensive pass interference has been called a lot. And I also feel like it's called inconsistently.
Yeah, just like the defensive pass interference.
And I get it, because I think there should be a lot. I think a lot of times there is offensive pass interference. And when I see it, I'm like, there it is. Why isn't there a flag? And then other times they'll finally throw a flag. I'm like, well, yeah, well, that was there in the first quarter too. Why didn't you throw it then? The consistency just isn't there. And it's starting to wear at me more than a little. And I would imagine that, you know, if you have a if you've got a wager on the game, you're going to look at the games things an awful more closely than you would have before. Everything goes through with a fine tooth comb once you got money involved. And I think the league should recognize that too, because the league is in bed with all the gambling companies. So I think they have to figure out a way to be more consistent with how it's called. Now, I don't know if that means that you get, you know, an assist from the replay booth without having to actually go to replay with a challenge flag and all that, but maybe you get some sort of replay assist where they just call down and say, yeah, no, dude, you missed it. That's blatant. That's absolutely interference. And then you go down a slippery slope of, okay, well, if you're going to allow it for that, do you allow it for holding and for other calls? And for, you know, the one that I actually do think it should be up for review, which is hands to the face or face mask. That one should be a reviewable call, because that's pretty black and white if somebody's grabbing your face mask or not. But, you know, that's my wish for an off-season rule change that probably won't happen. But how do you people feel about how games are officiated right now? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Has it gotten worse? Is it okay? Am I overreacting based on, you know, a game last night? But it just seems like we've seen this all too often. There's just too many controversial calls, and should there be a way to alleviate this? And how do you get that consistency? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Welcome back to 97.1, Carson Anderson program. Gator and Kang with you today. Doug will be back next week. Taking calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Some ticket texts coming in. Officiating is part of the gambling experience, all part of the risk. Worst thing they ever did was legalize sports betting. It's gotten so much worse since then.
Well, more people care now. That's the thing.
Well, it's being scrutinized. Yeah.
Yes. More eyeballs, more people. I know people that don't really even like sports, Skater, that gamble on sports, and now they watch it.
Yeah. Get a little action on the game. Give you an incentive to watch.
They don't know all the rules.
No.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. What's
Is that an interception? No, that's a touchdown. What?
Did I hit? Did I win? Did I hit my parlay?
What do I win for that? Yeah. You win nothing. Let's go to the phones. Jim is in Lake Orion. Jim, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, Gator. Yeah, to me, this is a problem that's been brewing. And the minute the NFL took gambling dollars as sponsorship, it's just hard to believe that there's some not favoritism being shown to certain lines and stuff. I mean, I go back to the Chiefs-Texans playoff game last year. I don't bet, but I bet. I seldom bet, but I bet this one, and I bet the spread. I went to go get my pizza at Buddy's for the Lions playoff game, which is one after that. Had the point spread covered. And the Chiefs, for no reason, no football reason, no logic reason, with 30 seconds left to go in the game, take a safety. Instead of covering the spread, They covered by 8.5 and the spread was like 9.5, something to that, or they covered by 8, but whatever. My point is these lines shift way too much, and you see too many things that defy logic from a football sense, from a coaching standpoint, and then certainly from a referee standpoint. Like, I go back to the Lions Thanksgiving Day game, that touchdown that they gave the Packers, where the guy clearly didn't get 2 feet in bounds. It defies logic, and I don't know if there's any truth to this. I've heard twice now that the league has changed its designation with Congress as far as being a sports league to an entertainment league.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, Jim, but and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. As far as your comments about what's happening, I think you got to be careful. There's a difference between, you know, an official getting a call right and getting a call wrong, and a team making a conscious decision to manipulate the point spread. I don't remember how that worked out with the playoff game last year with Kansas City in Houston. I'll take your word for it rather than going back and looking at the box score, but it's troubling because things like that, decisions like that, if it's a decision during a football game where a team just wants to, you know, take more time off the clock and, you know, force whatever situation they want by taking a safety, because we've seen that happen in the past. You know, some teams will just take the safety so that it speeds the game along, and they know that they still have the game won. But once you've got money on it and it changes that line where you were above the line, you were winning this game, and now it's below the line and now you're losing your bet, people get upset, understandably. Can't trust the replay booth in the NFL. They have Mr. Magoo working the monitors. That's John in Dearborn Heights. I trust the replay booth a lot. Are there calls I think that they get wrong? In the end, I think they just think they're inconclusive, and that's how they get ruled. But, you know, you come across thinking, wait a minute, they just confirmed what happened. Well, no, it's just they have to go with the original call on the field because it's too inconclusive. Or things, you're literally slowing it down frame by frame, and it's just unfair in some ways. Terry is in Bloomfield Hills. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Terry.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I just had 2 points. One on the pass interference issue. I just think that the NFL should adopt the college rule and make it a 10 or 15 yard penalty instead of this spot of the foul rule. Mm-hmm. It changes the entire game. You know, you can just heave a bomb and hope for a call, and you're likely going to get it. And then, you know, you can never say with certainty that the guy actually would have caught the ball. So to me, making it, you know, a set yardage penalty makes all the sense in the world, and it would remove this incredible momentum shift you get from that. And then the second point is, can anybody explain what the replay assist, you know, the quick call from New York on certain things, how the heck does that work? I mean, it comes out of the blue, seems to be no rhyme or reason when it occurs, what type of call, and I don't understand that at all. So
I actually, and thanks for the call, Terry, I love the replay assist because I think that's just another step in the direction of we're going to try to get the call right rather than have the, you know, the teams try to, you know, work through their own system of replay. Do we throw the challenge flag or not? It's something that can be done quickly. It's something that obviously is done from a booth location or from New York, whatever, and they buzz down or whatever. I just think that's done in the spirit of getting everything done right and having it done right. The interference, whether a guy's going to catch the ball or not, that's not the thing. It's does he have the opportunity to make a catch? That's what interference is about. So, you know, that his point about going to the college rule and not being a spot foul, just being a 10 or 15 yard, being a 15 yard penalty. I could see that.
I don't think it would ever happen. Here's why, Gator. The NFL loves offense, and offense brings more eyeballs and ratings, right?
Yep.
They want the defensive players. You have to give the opportunity to the offensive player to make that spectacular catch. And that's what the NFL wants. So that's why they're really trying to say, do not interfere. Do not grab the hand. Do not pull the jersey. If the ball's in the air, you got to play the ball, and that's it. Because they want those big splash plays. So if you start saying it's a 15-yard penalty instead of a spot foul, you're going to see a lot more DPIs because why would I give up a 50-yard bomb when I can just make it 15? And that's going to happen more often. Yeah. So that's why I don't think the NFL will ever go to the college rule, personally.
The funny thing is, like, the instance, okay, let's look, how is it officiated in college? And it's, I don't think it's egregious in college, like what you would suggest it would be in the NFL, but maybe it would be. But they don't do that. It's not like a strategy in college, necessarily. You see it time to time, but not typically every game. The other thing I'd like to see done with interference is I'd like to see them wave it off more by saying it's uncatchable. You know, and just because there's contact doesn't mean this guy has any chance of getting to the ball.
Well, it just all depends. His hands on. To me, like, did the defensive back impede the receiver from even getting to the ball to make it look uncatchable?
No, I get, you know, that. I mean? Like, yeah, that? And I think there's a line there. But a lot of times you'll see the ball just being thrown 15 feet high and it's going out of bounds. Like, you know, Shaq wouldn't be able to come down with these passes. And it's called interference because too much hand fighting going on the sideline, or one guy is definitely restricting an arm, but there's no way in hell he's going to be able to catch this football because the ball was thrown so poorly. But it's not ruled that way either. Let's get another call in real quick. Here is Mark in Windsor. Mark, welcome to 97.1.
Yeah, hi, guys. Between the time I made the call and now, you started talking about replay assist, and that may supersede what I was going to suggest. But I got a question. Who decides if there's going to be replay assist? Can a ref decide that, or is that?
No, I don't think a referee has a say in that. Okay. I just think that's okay. Just from either New York or from a booth or whatever.
Okay. So here's what I want to say. I think the refs want to get things right. I think being a ref in the NFL is incredibly hard. Making these decisions a split second is tough. But they don't really have a mechanism to kind of check their work and throw a flag if they're not 100% sure. If you think about hockey, the refs in hockey can call a major, and that gives them the ability to go and check on replay themselves. And oftentimes they'll switch to either a minor or they'll wave it off completely.
Yeah.
So we need a way for a ref to be able to call a play or call a foul when he's not sure. And maybe it's like a blue flag, and he gets three of those a game or something. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure what, and thanks for the call. We got Jared Goff coming up here in a second. The other thing is, I'm not sure if that doesn't kind of go on already. When they start to have a discussion on the field, I feel it's like they're looking for, you know, corroboration from the rest of the officials. And at the same time, you know, New York or wherever the replay assist is coming from, they're taking a closer look too, and they can communicate and say, yeah, you're doing the right thing. It's not interference, whatever, and they'll pick the flag up. 248-539-9797. We'll talk with Jared Goff next here on 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
As we do each and every week during the football season, time to talk with the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. All right, Jared, we thank you again, as always, for taking time out during the season. This will be our last time we talk this year, which is kind of sad. I'm sure you're very disappointed by that, and I know that we do enjoy our time talking with you, but it's going to be tough this week because of what happened last week, kind of ending the playoff hopes of the season. How did you guys cope with that after the game immediately once you were finally eliminated?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to deal with knowing that, you know, you're playing a meaningless game at this point. The way that we played and the way that that game went sucked. And, you know, even if you rewind 2 weeks, if we're able to pull off that Pittsburgh one and then somehow pull off last week, we're sitting in a great spot right now. And it sucks to play that game, but that's the game your brain goes through. And, yeah, after that game, that locker room was real tough.
Do you ever get a sense before things happen that if it's going to be good or bad, that it's going to be good or bad? Like, did you get a sense before the game started that things may not go your way, or did this just unfold during the game?
No, you never think that way. You always think it's going to go great. And sometimes, you know, they get paid too, and they played really well, and we didn't. And I certainly have my hand in that. And you look internally, and how do you improve? How do you get better? How do you find ways yourself to be better? And you hope all your teammates are doing that as well.
Jared, what is it about the Vikings defense, or maybe specifically more a Brian Flores defense, that makes it difficult to play against?
They do a good job of kind of forcing your hand schematically by putting an extra guy blitzing, then you have the block and then bluffing out of that. And so there's various ways to get after that defense, and we didn't really do any of them.
I know you guys have the, and so does everybody else, it's throughout the league, the next man up mentality. Did this team just kind of run out of gas after all the injuries and constantly having to lean on that moniker? Or, I mean, it's been a few days. Can you kind of put your finger on what went wrong and make sense of it? And where do you guys have to improve in the offseason to make sure that things get back to playoff football next year?
Yeah, we got to improve in a whole lot of areas, obviously. You know, we've got 8 wins right now, 8-8, and hopefully we can finish it with a winning season. But, yeah, a ton of areas to improve. And, you know, if you could put your finger on it and it was one thing, you'd probably get it fixed pretty quickly. So it's probably a lot of things. And I know it's above my pay grade for Dan and Brad and everyone to look at when the season's over. But I think for us as players and for me as a leader of the team, to look internally, you know, look at yourself. You know, how can you get better? Look yourself in the mirror. You know, don't point fingers. Don't say, well, if this is better, then this would be better. No, like, just look at yourself and see how you can improve. And usually if that's done collectively, it's a collective improvement.
We know that you and Frank Ragnow had a great relationship with the quarterback center. I know you play with another center this, you know, against the Vikings on Christmas Day. The quarterback center relationship is an important and a unique one. Can you explain to us what goes into building a connection with your center or that relationship? Is there something every quarterback's looking for, or are you guys different? You know, how does that work?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've had great quarterback center relationships with all my guys, really. I can't think of any that I had a bad one with. And you spend so much time together. You know, you always joke that I probably spend more time with Frank last year, Graham this year, than they do with their wives. And so, you know, we get to know each other very intimately. And, those guys have been great. This week, Kingsley, this past week, Kingsley, and the week before, I thought he did a good job. And we'll see what we have this week.
So it feels different as a fan following a non-playoff team going into the last game trending upward and versus last year, or I should say versus this year when you've got a 3-game losing streak. It's a non-playoff team. Everything was at stake the last game. What's at stake this Sunday against the Bears?
Yeah, our pride and who we are. And it's not, you know, it's different than 2022. You know, it definitely is different because of the expectations and like you said, the way it's finished the last two games, but the same thing remains where, you know, it's still your resume. It's still who you are. It's about to be put on tape for 4 quarters. And what do you want the rest of the league to see? What do you want your own teammates to see? What do you want your coaches to see in front office across the league? Well, you know, that's what you're putting on tape. And, you know, for myself and everyone on our team, you know, how do we want to finish this year and how do we want to, at least, you know, have somewhat of a stamp on feeling good about this last game.
Do you try to treat this at all like, hey, this is our playoff game, this is our Super Bowl, it's the last game of the year, you know, it's the Bears, no. Obviously they're going to come loaded for us. No, you don't treat it any different?
No, I think because it's a division game, you want to win, you know, a little bit extra maybe. I mean, they're going to go on to the playoffs and do whatever they do, but we'd love to, put one in their loss column before the season's over.
You know, we've spoke to you before about kind of like the Lions' superpower seemed to be you guys always would bounce back after a loss. Like, you went forever without back-to-back losses. What, if anything, changed the last 2 weeks that have just kept you guys from bouncing back like you normally do? Like, where did the superpower go, I guess, if you can pinpoint anything?
I can't pinpoint anything. If we could, I promise you we would fix it. I don't know. Yeah, we had been good at winning after losses, and I don't know if that's, you know, you don't want to, you know, lose, but it is nice when you have a good feeling that you'll get the win after it. And you know, it had been a calling card of ours, and that Pittsburgh game didn't go our way, man, and that was the one that made it 2 in a row, and then obviously 3 in a row now with that Minnesota game.
Different teams take different approaches if they're not in the playoffs going into the last week of the season. For those who want to rest starters going into the off season, can you explain to the listeners why it matters to you that you play on Sunday?
To me personally?
Yes.
Because I'm the quarterback of this team, and that's what I do. I play on Sundays. Like, that's bottom line. And I think that's not just for me. That's for St. Brown. That's for everybody. Like, we get paid an exorbitant amount to play football on Sundays, and I don't care what the situation is. We're going to go out there and give it everything we have and try to win. And like I mentioned earlier, there's certainly guys that won't be on this team next year that are playing for future jobs, and they know that. And so they want to put their best foot forward as well. But I think the guys that will be here next year, they want to, you know, express to their teammates and to their coaches, you know, how much they care about each other and make that known on Sunday.
Obviously, this is a division game against the Bears, so it always means something, especially all the other stuff that you mentioned too. But knowing that you're going to go up against your former offensive coordinator and Ben Johnson, does it feel a little different this all, or any difference at all this week?
Then what? Then what
going against like someone that wasn't your former, you know, offensive coordinator, I guess. Or
no, I don't think so. No, not this week. You know, maybe there was something to it that first time we played them, just because we hadn't seen each other and that was the first time back and whatnot. But no. And when I say there's something to it, it's just like the familiarity of seeing a guy again. Now at this point, we've played them already, and they've become a much better team than they were then, and so we'll have our hands full.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on that. Like, it's been a while since you guys played them. Obviously, they look a lot better than since you last played them. You've seen more tape on them now. How are they compared to the last time you played them, what you've seen on tape at least?
Yeah, you know, at least, you know, defensively, what I can tell, they play with good energy, dude. They fly around. They're well coached. They're sound. Dennis Allen's a great coach, been in our league for a long time, and I've got a ton of respect for him. And they do a good job, man. I think the acquisition actually of C.J. Gardner-Johnson has given them a little juice, and he was a teammate of ours, and we'll see him. I'm sure he'll be chirping at us. That'll be fun for us. And yeah, man, they've done a good job of improving every week, and you can see it.
What was it that you guys threw 52 points against him in week two, and from week one to week two, is like polar opposite in games and in the way that the team executed and the team played. How do you get back to being that team that was so laser focused in week two that threw up 52 points against the Bears? Not that anybody is expecting to throw another 50 burger against them, but how do you get back to playing like that?
Yeah. That's the $1 million question, right? We got a lot of work to do. It's a lot of work. And I think I kind of, you know, belabored at this point, like looking internally, how can you improve? How can yourself get better? And I think if we had the magic potion, the magic button to press to get to where we're scoring 50 points a game, I'm sure we would have pressed it by now. So it's look internal and get better and try to find ways yourself can improve, like I said, and not try to say, well, if this is better, then this will be better. No, that's not the right. We're not looking for problems. We're looking for solutions. And if everyone has that mentality, it'll collectively get a lot better.
So at the end of every season, every team in the NFL has roster changes. This just happens. That's the nature of the business. This Sunday being your last game this season, has it crossed your mind at all that this might be the last time you play a game with some of your current teammates, knowing how far you guys have come as a team, where you know, how the team was when you got here, Jared, and now where you are and the expectations where they are? Has it ever crossed your mind at all yet? Like, this may be the last time you play with some of these guys?
Yeah, it happens every year. I guess now we know this is the last time, so you're more aware of it than when you're playing in the playoffs. But yeah, there's guys that are on expiring contracts that are going to be free agents, and happens every single year. And you know, if they come back, great. If they don't, you wish them the best.
Kagan mentioned this earlier about Frank Ragnow, and he tried to come back and obviously had a torn hamstring that prevented him from doing it. Will you be talking to Frank this offseason and trying to convince him to make sure that he heals up the proper way so that he can play with you guys again next season?
No, I don't think that's in the cards at all.
You talking to Frank, or Frank's not going to play next year?
No, of course I'll talk to Frank. I just don't think his interest level is there.
All right, I just got one last one. Last week, I talked to you about your newfound dad strength. I just want to give you to give me a couple examples of any dad strength you experienced. Like, are you opening up jars easier? You have quicker reflexes. Have you arm wrestled anyone recently?
Oh man, I don't know. you know, you're holding the baby a lot. I guess that helps. You know, in my left bicep strength a little bit. Left forearm. I'm holding her in that left arm a lot. So, yeah, I guess I'm getting stronger there.
Are you bringing in extra bags of groceries than you normally would? Like normally you're like, I got three, but now I can get five in there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You're getting five on each arm, walking in, holding 10 bags. That's exactly it.
Lastly for me, we got hit with snow yesterday. Have you gotten used to it after being here for the last 5 years? And also, can you see a reaction from your daughter when it comes to the snow? And how does Quincy like the snow?
Gosh, that's a great question. I love it. I think it's cool. I hate when it like rains and goes away and gets all muddy and gross, but yesterday was fun. It was cool outside to see all that. And, I don't know if she quite notices it yet. You know, she sees it a little bit. The dog loves it. Quincy loves it. He runs out there, does everything out there, but, I don't think she quite notices it yet, but yeah, I'm used to it. I love it here and, love when I get a little snow in the winter and wish I could experience a little bit more of it through the next couple months. But, we'll do our best again next year and hopefully have better results.
I was going to say, how much time do you spend after the football season before you go back?
It depends every year. I don't know. It totally depends. I don't have an exact time or whatnot, but I love being here, and I know Kristen does too.
Well, Jared, we appreciate the time as always, and we wish you best of luck on Sunday to go ahead and go beat the Bears.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate you all year.
All right. Thank you. Jared Goff here on 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back to Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Kang is in for Doug. Doug will be back next week. Well, Kang's here every day, but Kang's joining me today with Doug being out, a much more pronounced role with the show, so we always appreciate it. Getting back to our discussion that we started the show with regarding the officiating, and particularly it's interference calls. And does the NFL have an interference issue? Because it seems like it's just kind of arbitrary when they're calling it. There are some plays where it looks like it's blatantly obvious that's an interference and there's no flag, like late in the game last night. Atwell clearly has a chance to make a play and the defensive back grabs his arm with both hands and there's no flag. And then we've seen it also where there's no interference. It doesn't look like there's interference, and they'll throw a flag for it. And we saw that happen against the Lions in the Pittsburgh game and also against Pittsburgh in that game. I thought there was DK Metcalf got called for a pass interference call that I didn't think was interference, and then you had the very questionable offensive pass interference calls against the Lions on that last drive. I did think that the St. Brown won to end the game. I did think that he got a pretty good piece of the defensive back pushing him backwards. I didn't have as much of a problem with that one as I did with the Tesla getting called for it. And even then, for me, it didn't bother me as much, but I know that people were very bothered by that. National people and the pundits were saying that there's no way that should have been interference. So I asked the question, 248-539-9797, same number to text as well. Does the league have a problem when it comes to pass interference? Do they not know what they're doing? Do they have to come up with a uniform policy to get everybody on board with this is how we call it? Because as Kang pointed out earlier in the show, it looks like it's different crew by crew, and it might be different, you know, official by official. And that's the problem. Like in baseball, every umpire has their own strike zone, and it can be maddening. But the part that gets really maddening in baseball is when the umpires stray from what they've called. If what was called a strike in the first inning is called a ball in the eighth inning, that's a problem. There has to be the consistency. And I think the same thing goes with football and with pass interference. You've got to find some kind of consistency. Some feedback coming in. Being a back judge is one of the most difficult things in sports. I'm not saying they're perfect by any means, but I challenge anyone who criticizes it. Well, I'm sure it's a difficult job.
I'm personally not saying I could do it better. What I'm saying is they need to find people that can do it better, which would not be me. Yeah. Maybe an idea I have is there's got to be more former football players becoming refs and umpires because they've played the game. They know how fast it is. And by the way, they're younger. You know, I mean, I feel like the refs and umpires in the league have gotten younger, but a lot of times you see a lot of older guys out there, and is the reaction time faster? Their eyesight is good? I don't know, but I feel like that would help. Also, going back to what I feel about how I think they just call sometimes what they think they see or what they feel like calling. If you watch a lot of podcasts or listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of former athletes and players feel the same way, and they're playing the game. This is just me viewing it, but the guys playing the game feel like...
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just calling stuff and they don't, it's whatever they feel like, you know, it's not an actual following the letter of the law or the rule book. And so sometimes they'll call and sometimes they won't. So how are you supposed to play that as a player?
Let's go to the phones. Ken is next up here at 97.1. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Gator. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you.
So I was thinking the same thing when I was watching that game last night, and I kind of was thinking, what bothers me about the pass interference is, you know, you got the human factor of the refs, right? And I don't think that's ever going to change. I don't think you're always going to get everybody on the same page. But what if you changed the penalty? I mean, pass interference, it came into the league, I looked while I was on hold, 1977. This is not the same game as it was in 1977. And you get, what, 15 yards from the spot of the foul. You get an automatic first down. You know, guys are heaving it, you know, a Hail Mary in the end zone. And if you get pass interference, it's first down on the goal line. What if it was just like a 5-yard penalty?
Yeah, I mean, somebody brought that up earlier. And thanks for the call, Ken. If it's ruled like they do it in college, that it's no longer a spot foul, it's a penalty. Whether it's 10 yards or 15 yards or whatever you want to call it. What if it's just ruled that way? Does that change the game? I mean, it changes some strategy for sure. You know, you're not going to have, I suppose it's not as punitive to the defense if there's a pass interference call in the end zone. You're trying to prevent a touchdown. It's just a penalty, and here comes 15 yards marched off. Team needs a touchdown. They don't need the field goal. They get another crack at it because it'd be a penalty. But as King points out, the NFL loves offense. The offense is money, and the NFL is all about making money. So that's not likely to change. I meant to, when I read the previous text, I cut it off, which is my mistake. So here's what it said in full. Being a back judge is one of the most difficult things in sports. I'm not saying they're perfect by any means, but I challenge anyone who criticizes them to go ref a game or two at any level. Yes, the NFL refs should be the best in the world, and I promise you they are. It's just insanely difficult to be perfect at. Seeing calls during replay is easy. Now, that's full context. And I would agree that, yes, watching things in replay is a heck of a lot easier than out there on the field. I'm not able to go out there and call the game, nor do I have any desire to go out there and call the game. What I expect is that the officials that are out there are going to do it to the best of their ability. And I understand the calls are going to be missed from time to time. But you get plays like last night where there's an isolated, you got one official who's there specifically looking at this play and he's in position to make it and doesn't throw a flag on something that's blatant, no matter what angle you look at it. And that's where the issues are coming in. And I do think that there's too much subjectivity of what interference is. I get the feeling that if you put the officials in a room and ask them individually or have them take a test, and it's with video evidence, is this interference, is this not interference, that you're not going to get, you know, 30 to nothing and everybody's voting the same way. You're going to get a much different ruling on things because it's not uniform. It's not enough. And I think that's a big problem. The officiating problem in the NFL is less than humans. It's less the humans and more the convoluted rules. Simplify the rules and you'll see better outcomes. That's Kevin in Wixom. Maybe. But maybe then that's just getting down a slippery slope. Then now that you get that, you know, handled, now can you fine tune it? And that's where I guess you start to blur the lines a little bit. Nonetheless, I do think it's an issue in the NFL. I think pass interference in particular is an issue. I think they knew it was an issue years ago, and that's why they decided to make it reviewable. And then they realized it was just too much to take on, and they took it away from being reviewable. Maybe it's something that has to be revisited and they review it again. Or is this something where replay assist helps out a little bit more and when the referees can throw the flag or not? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.